going to talk about from 2011, Captain America, The First Avenger, directed by Joe Johnson, or is it Johnston?
Jackson?
It's not Joe Jackson.
She was Joe Jackson.
He wasn't stepping out. The guy did The Rocketeer.
Johnston.
Yeah, the guy who started off working for Lucas doing, I don't know what it was, special effects stuff for, on the Star Wars movies or something. He's kind of always been in the background there. He's done some good movies. He's done mostly schlock, though. I mean, he did Jurassic Park 3. He did The Wolfman.
Who's the one who directed Mighty Joe Young?
That was him, too, I think. Yeah.
So that's his thing, then.
I guess, yeah.
Wolfman was terrible.
I heard it was terrible. I didn't even bother. But Rocketeer was good.
It was worth it if you like waistcoats.
Right. I'm not a big enough fan of waistcoats to...
People in tons of makeup bounding across English plains in waistcoats. If you like that sort of thing,
then Wolfman is your film. It's for you. Huh?
And also, if you like Benicio del Toro and his non-acting style of mumbling at things.
Right, yes. Like in... I just watched Usual Suspects recently.
Yeah, he was good in that because they played to the fact that you can't understand.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Finster.
Indeed.
Funster.
So, this is like the bottleneck to the Avengers movie or something like that? Which they started with Iron Man 1.
It's just the...
It's sort of the...
Hulk.
The Hulk piece. Verse? No.
Well, the Hulk plays... They have this weird marketing thing for it. We have these things at Kmart that show... that say, oh, it's toys in the toys section. There's the toys for the official movies. And... A lot of the ones for Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America have this circle on them that says Avengers Assemble, and it's like a pie chart thing where one of it is Captain America, one is Thor, and one is Iron Man.
Right, to get you to collect all of them.
Yeah, the Hulk is part of the Avengers, and he's in this movie. They obviously did the Samuel L. Jackson thing after the last Hulk movie. It is part of it, but they're not treating it like it's one of the main things in it.
Is it racism?
No, part of the issue is the way that they structure the story. The Banner is not really officially part of, like... I don't know. They're calling it the Avengers, but I'm fairly certain, based on what they've done with Nick Fury and just some other things, that they're really drawing a lot more from the Ultimates books in the storylines that they're telling. And so I'm fairly confident that this Avengers movie is going to be a lot like Ultimates 2. Because Loki's supposed to be the main antagonist, and so on and so forth. So you'll have to read that. I got that for you to borrow.
I need to read one again.
I got that too. If you want to know that, and you can tell me what you think. But so now, what we got is we got Captain America to set everything up because you need to do him. He's the first. He's the leader.
Is he really the leader?
He is.
Because him and Iron Man butt heads a lot.
They're known to, yes.
And Fury. They'll take charge. One of them will take charge, and the other one gets huffy and then leaves for a while.
Who's Fury? Does he have superpowers?
Nick Fury?
Yeah.
He has one eye.
I don't know if they did.
Cycloptic? Yeah, cycloptic.
No, they've done different things with Fury in the past, and I think they're kind of combining the Ultimate's Fury with the canon Fury a little bit. I'm not sure what they're doing... Based on what they did in Captain America,
what they've done with all the a long time ago with the Eriavad who took over, he was the head of the Marvel Films thing and then took over. I forget if he was at Disney or what, but I think Disney purchased Marvel, didn't they?
Yeah.
So
that happened like after like Iron
but
Man.
But I mean it's a relatively recent thing. But they decided. When they were making the Ultimate Universe in Marvel, that any subsequent films that were coming out were going to be based on those. That's why the...
That's why they made the people... They drew them to look like actors and
right,
stuff.
And like why Spider-Man looks like Ultimate Spider-Man and his suit doesn't look like old Spider-Man and stuff
right.
Like that. Like, you know, even though Ultimate Spider-Man is drastically different for the movie. The movie Spider-Man followed the more of the...
Yeah, that one. I don't know what the remake that they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Remaking Spider-Man again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually looks okay.
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
I'm hopeful for it. I don't know about Mark Webb, but...
Yeah.
No pun intended, huh?
Yeah, I think they thought about that. There was no guy named Mark Spider-Man, so they just...
Right. Mark Spider-Man.
Mark Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Jewish?
Exactly. But I mean, I don't think you're really breaking any ground here by saying.
I'm not saying I am. I'm just trying.
All Ultimate Universe stuff.
And
they didn't call it Ultimates because, you know, the Ultimates is just kind of a nickname for it being the Ultimate Avengers. They just changed names and stuff in the universe. But
like, how come? Because I don't do
segues. Iron Man is like takes place in 2010, right? And it's Captain America takes place in World War II.
Captain America is a flashback movie.
But he's still in his prime when to get together with Iron
Man.
Yeah,
well, the Captain America story is that he got frozen.
Right.
And that's how it's always been. He started as a World War II guy. He got frozen.
Disappears.
And they wake him up in modern times, be that the 70s when they brought him back.
Or the 80s, whenever it is. 90s.
But they find him. He was frozen. And, you know, what happens when you freeze someone? They're totally fine. Ted Williams is going to be alive.
Well, I think there's a lot to play on the fact that there's the super serum and all the cellular stuff and all that. So, yeah.
Yeah,
there's magic.
Why didn't they make an army of Captain Americas?
Because the guy. Do you want us to let's just tell you the movie?
I don't want
the movie. Will address
sounds like shit.
The movie will address all of this.
I want to
hear what Ian thinks about the movie.
It was shit.
Here's what happens in the movie.
Spoiler alert.
You know DJ Qualls from Road Trip, the super skinny kid who ends up banging the big fat black chick.
Yeah.
So. They take DJ Qual's body and they put Chris Evans' head on.
And that's how Captain America, not Iron Man.
And he's Steve Rogers. He's right. Captain. He's the guy who will become Captain America. And he really wants to join the army.
Right.
Right? So there you go. That's the beginning. And then
they face off? They put his head on the other guy?
They don't do it in the movie, but they did it behind the scenes
behind the scenes.
So what they did was they digitally...
To make him look skinnier, but have
exactly.
the same face.
They made him look like a skinny, tiny little guy with part of Chris Evans' head that kind of angles like this.
And it didn't entirely work.
It didn't entirely look. It looked like...
Sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't.
And so he really wants to join the army. But they keep saying, you're too skinny, kid. Not going to happen. 4F. They stamp him 4F, which means you can't go to the
medical army. Medical, whatever.
But his buddy, Bucky, he's going. He's a big,
James
he's
Barnes,
a big manly man.
The Winter Soldier.
Bucky's going to war. And he's like, listen, man, I don't want to rub it in your face, but I'm going to war. Let's go party with these chicks. So they go to party with some chicks. The chicks aren't interested in little, skinny Steve Rogers. Why would you be? So he kind of wanders off to the part of this world fair that has to do with the army, right? So he goes in there, and just so happens that a German expatriate scientist is walking through the halls. And he goes, hey, there's a skinny kid. That's what I'm looking
well,
for.
Well, he hears Bucky and Captain America because I just saw it.
So I don't color it with my biases. Go ahead.
Well, or like by completely eliminating plot points and why there's logic to it. he hears Rogers talking with his friend Bucky about like why he wants to join up and his motivations for it. So he sees the guy's got gumption, kid, you know, all that kind of crap. So he pulls the kid into this special.
Do you use the word gumption?
Special unit. No, they don't.
So you just threw that in there.
I did. I threw that into color with my bias. And then he
just so we're clear, Ian is pro-America. Before we watch this movie,
pro-America.
He's pro-America, so that will color his interpretation.
It will color my interpretation. I'm the kind of guy. I'm the last group of people that it's okay to hate in America. Without a doubt, so are you. It's okay. We're brothers. Brotherly strength. So Cap ends up with a bunch of big old roughneck types that are all. Being recruited to possibly be this first test subject.
Who'd win the fight between Captain America and Captain Morgan?
I hope Captain Morgan would win.
Well, they address that too in the movie, Seth.
They do?
Yeah, and Captain America would win.
So, you know what? That's his snide little way of saying that Captain America cannot be affected by alcohol.
Which they do address.
But Captain Morgan could stab him.
unless he was wearing the polycarbon fiber that Howard Stark made for him.
Fiber, come on. There's no fibers.
Is Howard Stark Iron Man's dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so Ian's taking too long. So they go into this program to see if they can figure out who's the best guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the first candidate for us to test the super soldier thing? And so Tommy Lee Jones is the... Colonel ahead of him. And one of his underlings is a British woman for some reason, right? She's super hot, by the way. Haley Atwell.
Joel Osmond.
And she's stacked, too.
Peggy Carter.
She's stacked. She's looking good.
It's not going to matter pretty soon,
though. She's looking all right. Oh, like in 5 years?
No, I mean in the context of the story.
Oh, in real life, I mean, actresses, you know, right. their peak is very short.
I'm not talking about real life. Okay, fine, move on.
So they're out there to find out who the best one is. And Steve Rogers, he's not very good at anything.
Gumption.
Right? He's climbing through the dirt, and some guy kicks some barbed wire on him. Oh, he's stuck in it because he's little. And then they gotta climb the ropes on top of the wall, right? He can't make it. His arms are the size of the rope.
He's not gonna do it.
He tries. The rest of the guys are trying also. They're just succeeding. That's the difference, right? But they see him. They're like, hey, he's not succeeding, but he is also trying. Let's give him extra point for that.
Right. He jumps on a grenade.
So here's the only thing they had to do ever, right?
Right.
The only thing they actually ever had to do was, he's like, Tommy Jones is like, I'm going to tell you why he's not a good candidate, that skinny little prick over there. Watch this. And he takes a grenade, and he says, grenade, and throws it, right? And he takes the pin out. And everyone, except for little Steve Rogers, gets to a safe distance.
I mean, they're a smart thing to do.
Right. And so he falls on it, says, get out of here, I'll save you guys.
Right.
And he falls on it. It never blows up. It was a trick.
He'd be too skinny to block it anyway.
But no, he did a good job.
He covered it up all right. I mean,
he knew what he was doing.
There was a big gap right here, but he was kind of aiming that at Tommy Lee Jones. And then he's like, oh, I guess I spoke too soon. And he said that to Stanley Tucci.
He said he's still skinny.
Yeah, that was. I mean, Tommy Jones had the funny
Tommy
lines.
Tommy Jones was great in this movie.
He had funny lines.
I didn't think he was going to be in it as much as he was, and I loved.
He had funny lines with Toby Jones too when they're in the room. He's eating the steak with him.
But that was awesome. Yeah, I loved that he ate the steak.
Anyways, like, oh, I guess I spoke too soon, and so they basically they pick him, right? They pick him. Oh, and in the background, here's what's going on. Hugo Weaving, who was one of the bad guys from The Matrix,
right.
And also played Elrond Hubbard from Lord of the Rings. Uh-huh. Elrond Hubbard, the head elf.
His name is Elrond,
and every time I hear that, I think of Elrond Hubbard. They never say the elves' last names. It might have been Hubbard. I just like to add it. You know, and Legolas is Legolas McLaughlin of Tempe, Arizona.
But he won a new car.
So Hugo Weaving is looking for something, right? And they have this opening scene where
in Norway,
where the guy with the cat from Harry Potter is telling this kid, he's like, hey kid, you know, did they find you? And he's like, oh, I don't know, I don't think they're gonna be able to get into our gated community. And they smash with a gigantic tank that's like the size of
like four tanks.
That's a big tank, right? It's really tall. It smashes through their gated community and smashes into the castle, a church.
In 1942.
Sure. And the Harry Potter guy's like, no, and they crush his son, I'm assuming. But that's not a big deal because he's hiding something. But Hugo Weaving comes in all Nazi'd up and he goes, oh, you're hiding something.
And he opens the Ark, makes a joke about the Ark.
Yep.
And then he finds this thing.
It's the Cosmic Cube.
Huh?
He finds the Cosmic Cube.
There's a couple references to Indiana Jones.
He finds the Cosmic Cube that was hidden on Earth by the gods, so they would.
Thor stuff. This is Thor stuff.
So anyway, turns out that he is.
He knows the lore, so he's able to decipher the lore,
But the main thing is, he talks like he learned to do this by watching Arnold Schwarzenegger films. So he speaks in a German accent that sounds just like an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonator on like Mad TV, let's say.
Right. Okay? Yeah.
So that's what's going on in the background, and so then
he finds the Cosmic Cube.
Back to America, Steve Rogers gets hooked
up
to
the Nazis. Have magical powers from the
gods. He's like, "Why'd you guys pick me?" And they're like, "Well, you know, you got guts and stuff, and
you jumped on a grenade.
You got gumption. You jumped on a grenade. Plus, you tried all the time, like those other guys."
So he's a failure, and he's dumb.
And that's what they're looking for,
right?
Someone who will follow orders. So he gets strapped into the machine. You get a little bit of time with the girl so that you know that maybe she has the spark of attraction before he hulks up, so that you can't just accuse her of being superficial. They had to throw that in there, right? So they have a little taxi ride, and she asks him why he never ran away from getting beat up, and he's like, I don't know.
He
says some nonsense.
He says if you start running, they'll never let you stop.
That's not true.
That's what he says.
That's not true. If you keep standing up to people who will repeatedly crush you, it will happen until the end of time.
Until you die, and over and over. Right.
Until you run away and they know you're no longer a threat to their part of the alley. Right.
If they're Nazis, that works too, right?
So you know there's a little bit of something going on. But you know, in the back of my mind, she's like, yeah, but he's little, so I'm not too worried about it. So anyway, he goes to Super Serum works, and he turns into a massive, hairless, oily, just bulbous.
Zach's not at all threatened here.
You
get a half chub?
Hulking.
Half chub?
There was no half about it. Hulking.
Right, yeah.
Sweaty, just this swole. He's totally swole. You know what I mean?
Can you describe it more, everyone's like,
holy hell, this kid just turned into
Captain America.
He turned into an underwear model.
Right, yeah.
And then, luckily, he just turned into that because after they turned him into a hulking supermodel, a spy there decides to kill...
Right. He tries to throw the operation out of whack.
He tries to throw a penny.
Once he's verified that it worked,
right?
Then
that's why they can't do it to the whole army of them
because the scientists are dead. So he runs off.
Captain America chases him.
Is he Captain America yet officially though?
No, he hasn't been promoted.
He's a senator.
He's citizen or private America at this point.
Yeah.
The Private America would have been
a funny movie.
So he chases the guy through the streets, and you know he chases.
He knows Brooklyn, so he's
he knows Brooklyn, so he knows that alley goes to where the guy's going, and he does that for a while. And then there's some stuff in the water. He gets the guy out of the water.
He jumps into the water.
He breaks the guy's submarine and pulls him out of the water.
Yeah.
And then the guy says "Hail Hydra" before he dies. You know, like he bites his thing.
Yeah.
I swore he was just mispronouncing Heil Hitler the first time. I was like, why did he mispronounce Hydra? Heil Hitler? He said Hail Hydra.
Hydra is the imaginary, made-up Nazi super scientist wing of blah, blah, blah. Instead of doing the Marvel comics.
Instead of doing the actual Hitler wave, they do a two-fisted thing.
Do you think they thought that'd be offensive?
I don't know. It was stupid. I hated it. Anyway, I don't want to let you know my biases, though. Right. I'm trying to keep those secret right now.
He's keeping it secret.
So then he's going to join the war, except for Tommy Lee Jones is like, guess what, kid? Nice job with chasing down the guy, but you're a sideshow and it's not going to happen. But the sender comes up and goes, listen, you're the kind of sideshow I'm looking for. I'm promoting you to
captain. Selling war bonds.
And he's like, yes, here we go. Some serious action. Then it turns out it's just he's going around to sell war bonds. He's a propaganda sideshow thing. Because he puts on the goofy
outfit.
People know he did the thing. The newspapers show that he chased some guy through the streets and he was cool and everything and people love him. They're like, that's the gumption we're looking for out of the average Joe citizen. You know, who happened to have been ingested with super serum.
But no one else knows that.
That's what we're looking for. So this will drum up support for the whole war thing, right? That's going on. People weren't really behind the war thing before this.
Well, you need to sell the bonds.
the public opinion was very low about this war thing. So he goes around. They get some funny mileage out of there's a bunch of dancing girls,
right.
And he comes out. He does this little play where he
fake punches Hitler.
He fake punches Hitler. There was one good line in that later where he says,
that was
like, "You know what you're doing?" He's like, "Of course I do. I've knocked out Hitler like 200 times.
Punch Hitler in the face 216 times."
Anyway, but you know he's not really out there fighting with the guys, and so
he's become a joke.
You know, one thing leads to another. You tell
a monkey.
The rest, but I'm tired of talking.
He's a dancing monkey because they do the callback to the fact that in his actual life, I don't know what the deal is, but he liked to draw, and he was an artist. And so they show him drawing.
What's the plot? Thing. Let's go.
And he ends up going to have to save his buddy Bucky, because they get captured.
Yeah, the 107th.
107th, a bunch of them get captured.
They were captured by Hydra.
Because he's on one of the tour things, mm-hmm. and he's just been made fun of, and kind of realized that it's just sort of a joke. A little disenchanted,
and so he says, "I'm going
to
disobey orders. I'm going to go save someone myself." So he jumps in there, is that where he got dropped off? He got dropped off, right?
He got dropped off by Stark, yeah.
Stark and the girl, yeah. There was some stupid stuff about that,
right?
Yeah, he goes, he messes some people up. You know, he's pretty good. He looks pretty cool for a while,
and then Hugo Weaving sees him,
mm-hmm. and he's like, "Hey, super soldier, me too. I had the serum. I was the guy's first.
We're
both superior. We should join together and do stuff." And he's like, "Never." And then they escape, and then he escapes.
Wait, a bad guy at Super Serum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the first one, and you kind of find
inferior.
That out.
So he's inferior.
Like a lower... A little bit. Well, because his face melted
off. He can never admit that,
so he's got, like, these called the Red Skull.
The Red
he takes off his mask, his human mask, and he's just got a big red face.
A Red Skull.
It's like a Red Skull.
From,
like Skeletor a little bit.
From Heat Masters of the Universe. So then he's got his team now of, like, elite guys that he's going to always
work
with.
Yeah, he goes and gets, like, a Dum-Dum Dugan and those guys.
Dum-Dum's there, and Bucky, and then they just start doing missions that are specifically organized around bringing down Hydra.
Right.
So that happens a bunch in kind of some montage stuff with motorcycles jumping through fire and shit like that.
Montages.
And then they end up getting to the final battle kind of thing. Well, actually, no. Bucky killed.
Bucky bites it.
On a train on the side of a
mountain. Falls into a ravine.
Right, yeah.
Bites it, huh?
Bites it off.
Presumably.
A little bit of your bias.
After he got to use the shield for a split second.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, all technical throwback stuff.
The shield has powers, right?
The shield's made of vibranium, which they get from Chitala, the Black Panther's country in Africa.
Yeah.
But they don't mention
vibranium.
That.
Vibranium. It's the strongest, lightest metal in the world to this point.
Right.
Because they have not yet found adamantium.
Well, adamantium, I think, has different properties. Vibranium has the whole,
know what to tell you, man. It's
vibrational adamantium free thing. So if you shoot at it, like, the concussive force doesn't even affect it.
Right.
That's the whole point.
That's how cool it is.
Right. Remember, it's a comic book movie, so there's a lot of stupid shit in this.
Is it expensive? What's the atomic weight?
No, Seth. It's a comic book movie, so there's a lot of stupid shit.
And then what else happens?
And then they go to the big final flying V end fight.
Yeah, there's a big stealth bomber that's like 700 miles wide.
It's a big deal.
And he's going to fly it to New York or something.
And Chicago, and he's got bombs for every place.
And Captain America, goes through the plane and beats everyone up and then finally gets the last
guy. Has to ground it.
And somehow does something, so the Cosmic Cube pops out and Red Hawk,
Red Skull,
Eye of the Hawk, picks it up. And it melts him, and he kind of melts, and why?
Probably
which kind of seemed like a little bit of a deus ex machina cop-out instead of him
Except actually. That you know that it's probably one of those things where he got teleported to Loki's hangout, and they're going to both team up for
their
They're
having a few brews right now. We'll talk about how they're going to get back at the Inhumans. So then he's really brave and stuff, so he goes, we're heading toward New York. And they're like, all right, well, we'll fix you there. And he's like, no, I'm going to crash this. I'm going to crash it.
Right.
And then, so him and the girl have, like, some lovey-dovey talk on the thing.
And then he crashes it.
And he crashes
it. They can't find him.
And then it cuts to... he wakes up, right?
In a hospital.
And there's a Dodger game playing
on the radio. But it's from 41. They fucked up.
And he's like, it's 1943, you sons of bitches. This is a Dodger game from 41. I was at that game. I remember every single baseball game that was ever played in the history of the world.
He almost kills Sharon Carter.
Yeah. And Sharon Osbourne. He almost kills Sharon Osbourne. And then he breaks out of there. It was a ploy. The whole thing was just there to slowly acclimate him to the fact that he's now in the year 2011.
And he ends up at Times Square, and Sam Jackson shows up and says,
we want you for our team.
Like, are you okay, Cap? Are you going to be okay?
And then you sit through the credits, and then there's a trailer for Avengers already.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the big secret thing.
Sounds terrible.
Okay, so...
I loved it. It was great.
Okay, now you tell me what you thought of the movie.
I just did. it's got a lot of stupid shit in it because it's a comic book movie. There are parts in the middle that don't work so well. There's like I said, some hokey, ham-fisty shit. But that's kind of what the story is.
You ready to lay him out?
That's fine. And you could go either way with this movie, depending on how cynical you feel like being about it. I liked it. I thought a lot of the stuff in it was fun and worked and. They had enough little moments for
porn
characters
is fun.
Or something.
you talk about fun. You talk about movies that are going to be fun.
Well, was this not supposed to be fun?
A roller coaster
okay,
is fun
now,
until
now,
it rides
now,
off the
now,
rails
now,
and everyone
right,
dies.
Right, right. So this went off the rails for you pretty quickly?
It went off the rails in the beginning of the film.
Right.
This movie is terrible, and here's why. So you set up this paradigm with these other Marvel films, right? And you've got characters, the main characters, who are... passionate, willful people with a fatal flaw, as they should have, who, you know, then have to overcome their own personalities or something about them in order to become better people to do something. That's the basic archetype for just about any hero. It's even...
Except for Captain America and Superman, which he doesn't like, because as a Christian, he can't deal with anyone that has Jesus qualities.
No.
And that's his problem.
No. It's not a Jesus
Everyone has to be
thing.
As bad as him.
I would like... characters to every
have
character
to
fall
something.
Under
right, yes.
what they actually should. This Superman is different because he's
an alien.
He has the Clark Kent persona,
right.
which is very
which can be flawed,
witty, bumbling.
Sure,
there's a lot of personality to it. Steve Rogers' character, even on his little starving African kid body,
right.
with the face on it, even then, here's how he acts the whole movie. He goes like this, but he's like, yeah, I'd like to join the army now. And they're like, oh, what's your story, kid? He's like, oh, my parents were in the war, and I just would like to be in it. A little too bad. And he's like, oh, man. And then he goes to some movie, right?
So
and then he fights this guy in the alley, and the guy's like, why don't you just give up? And he's like, no, I don't want to.
Right.
And Steve Rogers is just, like, a clinically depressed little, like, it's just awful. And so, anyway, he meets the girl, and she's like, why don't you run away? He's like, oh, I just,
Is that how it is? That's not quite how it is. I mean, there is... all that he's saying is an accurate criticism.
He has no personality. So Chris Evans can have a ton of personality.
Sure
when he plays
right.
kind of the arrogant jerk, and even in Scott Pilgrim, even Johnny Storm that he
right.
plays
right. Yeah.
was billions of times better than how he played Captain America. Billions of times. Because he's an arrogant jerk who likes being in the papers a little bit.
Right.
It just, it gives you some sort of frame of reference, like why I should care about this guy at all, that he's not some sort of, it's not even like a Christ-like figure thing. It's like,
outlaw hero?
He's not even an outlaw hero. He's not even that, really. Not even that good. No. I'm so furious. The movie made me bad.
Are you Nick Furious?
It was Nick Furious. Nick
Furious.
He spends the entire time being dour, and for someone who supposedly never gives up, he spends a lot of time with like very subtle self-doubt. Not even the type of self-doubt that he really needs to overcome. And even if they were trying to play that out, it didn't work. There was no arc when it came to that. He's a completely one-dimensional, flat character who, even after he turns into big, fat, pectoral muscles, right, Captain America, even when he turns into that guy, his personality doesn't change. He's completely 100% dull. He's a Pollyanna character who does nothing wrong except for kind of bumbles away a little bit with the chick with the big tits.
With a chick.
And just a little bit. Not enough that it really matters, you know. Some hoochie grabs him and kisses him, and they have the old thing where she walks by at that moment and is like, right. Oh, what? And he's like, no, she kissed me. It's a worthless, worthless character that's just there It's putting someone on screen to put a uniform on them so people can recognize the uniform,
right.
Then see the person in the uniform punch people.
And then what would you say about jump? Anybody that disagreed with you about their character?
About their character? Like, yeah. What would I say about Ian's character?
Yeah. Well, I haven't entirely disagreed with
him. Ian is fatally flawed. I would rather see his character in this film because he's fatally flawed.
Right.
As his personality has fatal flaws in it. And he's got a lot of things to overcome in order to reach his final goal.
Indeed.
Here's what Captain America had to overcome. The fact that he was born a little person, right?
Right. It was a superficial thing.
And then very quickly, they fix that with some needles and a button or two and some bells and whistles. And then he doesn't have that problem.
Right.
He doesn't have to fight with anything. He doesn't have to struggle with anything in his past. He doesn't have to do anything like that. He's just this dull. He doesn't even show any passion in the earlier scenes. He's never passionate. Like, they could have at least had him be like furious and angry he didn't get into the army. So all that aside, the one thing that Captain America had going for him in the comics, the one thing that made him that made a lot of his characters antagonistic toward each other, was that he was
a
psycho jingoist America lover, right?
Jingoist?
He's a jingoist.
I don't know that word.
Jingoism.
It's the word that
extreme nationalism.
People use when they want to curry favor on the internet.
It's specifically just for America, but extreme American nationalism.
I don't think it's specific to America.
They only use it for America. No one calls a German nationalist a jingoist.
Not anymore. They took care of that.
He was extremely rah-rah-rah.
But during World War II, that's probably a flaw.
Well, it wasn't. But immediately they make it so that they don't even put that as a reference. Because it's a modern movie. You don't want to curry... You know, you want to make sure
His name's Captain America,
for Christ's sake. I understand that. But, I mean, you want to make sure you don't offend the people who aren't very far right-leaning Toby Keith CD
right,
owners.
Yeah. Who did three songs on the soundtrack from Toby Keith.
Really?
No.
So, you know, they downplay all that stuff. But at the very least, that would be a good thing if they had thrown in there that he was passionate for a reason about his country and defending it. The stuff that they put in there at the very beginning about how his father died on the battlefield and his mother was a VA nurse or something, they almost make that sound like that's not even true, because then right immediately afterwards, Bucky's like, where'd you tell him you were from this time? What was your backstory this time? Right. So you don't even really
He's
know.
Like the Joker.
You don't even really know, you know, if that was his whole thing. But Joker had personality and was passionate about being a psycho.
Right.
This guy just kind of wants to join the war. Why?
Because it's...
No reason. If he gives you a reason, it's because I want to be out there doing my part.
No, he says the reason.
Because he doesn't like people picking on each other.
He doesn't like bullies.
That is the most stupid retarded thing, and it does not work.
It's
in this
perfectly
film.
Fit to the theme, and it works.
This was the worst possible film you could have made about a superhero. It's the worst possible film.
I'm not going to argue.
He should have been a passionate person that had passionate something to bullies. Overcome in his at least be passionate about bullies. He's barely but he doesn't. They don't ever show it. He says a line later.
Stand up for yourself.
He says a line.
You're getting bullied right now. What's happening?
He says a line.
Pick up a garbage can lid.
He says a line in the middle of the film, and that's supposed to lead you to believe that.
It's not in the middle. It's the beginning.
He has this whole thing where like he fights a guy in an alley because the guy won't shut up during the propaganda film part before a movie. And you go in there and you watch the news and they're like, "Here's what our boys are doing overseas."
Right.
And some guy's like, "Shut up and show the movie," right? You know. And he's like, "Hey, you guy, you show a little respect, all right? Just be quiet down there." And they go out in the alley, and the guy just, you know, paints the walls with him because he's like 100 pounds or 90 pounds,
they say.
And and then he keeps getting up, and then Bucky Barnes comes and punches the guy once, and he walks
kicks
away.
Kicks him in the ass.
And then, he does that, too, for good measure, just
that
to let him know
measure.
That he was...
I like that.
And then he's like, "Why do you keep doing this, kid?" He's like, "Oh, I just..." But it's not like he's not someone who... You know, they don't give you the idea that, like, what if while he was growing up, he was constantly getting in fights and had, like, a real problem with I mean, they don't show that. Like, that's not even a bully. It's a guy yelling at a TV screen.
Right.
And he essentially, like, says, like,
it, right?
"Like, let's go outside," you know, and the guy stands up and he's 8 feet tall.
Right.
they do that whole thing. I mean, at the very least... Show a quick montage of like the opening credits could have been him as a kid, like punching a school teacher in the face and kicking the mailman and like like all the stuff to show that he was like this guy wants
a problem with authority. Yeah,
I didn't have a problem with authority, but a problem with a perceived injustice. And if you could tie that in some way with
the mailman's injustice,
tie that in some way.
Right. Because he got his mom pregnant.
Right, exactly.
But if
I hate you, father.
At least tie in whatever problem he had, whatever fatal flaw it is, into a love of America, you know?
Right.
It's forgivable to have the love of America if it's the 1940s.
It's forgivable to have it.
Oh, you can't have that in films. You can't have someone who says that.
Okay.
They don't even have him say that in a film that's set during World War II.
That's a good point.
At some point, the guy says, "Let me ask you something. You want to go kill Nazis?" And he goes... Tell you the truth, I don't want to kill anyone. I just don't like bullies.
Right,
like this self, unbelievably self-righteous and just awful.
You didn't work right now, by the way. If this is a boxing match, it'd be like 8-0. So it'd be like Rocky 3 or something, huh? So you got anything in the tank left, Ian?
What do you mean? My tank hasn't started to deplete.
Oh.
So
he's like iron.
So you know they don't have this strong attachment to America. They never give him a strong attachment to the country that he ends up wearing a uniform that is an advertisement.
Who's
for
they?
Right?
The screenwriter.
They the people who put
Studio,
him in the suit
and the people that put him in the suit. Yeah.
So you got that, and then
sort of
beyond that,
the story
it's this Pollyanna character who doesn't have any reason for you to see him overcome something. He doesn't have to overcome anything. He has to overcome nothing in the film as a character. There's no hurdle for him to climb over except for him being little, which happens at the end of the first or the middle. Well, I guess
first act, yeah.
Technically, the middle of the second act, but I mean,
no, he's right.
It was miserable, and the bad guy sucked. He at least had some comedic stuff because he sounded like the SNL Arnold Schwarzenegger. But all his underlings were these guys who wore masks who constantly said "Hail Hydra" and did this sort of thing.
Double fist pump.
And it was just like jokey caricature bad guys. The action wasn't that good. He walked into people's camps and they all kind of ran out of him in a circle and he smashed them in the face with a. His shield and threw it at people sometimes and sometimes drove motorcycles into explosions and then out of explosions.
Right.
Did he have a gun?
He used a gun sometimes, yeah.
He used a handgun instead of a rifle.
No axes.
No katanas. That'll be for like the third Avengers movie.
You know, the only time he ever showed passion was Bucky dies and then he is like, "We're going to go... You know, let's go take care of this guy." And then he's got a little bit of... Then at least he has a little bit of motivation to go.
Right.
You know, before it was just like...
It's personal that time.
Yeah, that time it's personal. But he barely even plays it up because he was so benign and bland in this role. I don't know if they could have done it better with a different actor or if it was just the director's
fault. I think it was
because
at all...
Because the director has already made a film where... I mean, in The Rocketeer, that guy... he's someone who's like, oh, I really want to, in the beginning, I want to do this. And he's really passionate about that girl, and he's really passionate about, he thinks he can be a hero, and he sucks so bad in the beginning, and then he has to learn how to be way better. And
sort of. I mean, not really.
It's, but
he's still
like,
got
the even that guy, who's like, he's a C-level guy, C-list guy, who ended up, you know, being on some show with some lady.
He's on The Killing or whatever.
And this, you get Chris Evans, who's purportedly an up-and-coming film star. And,
right.
And this is the guy we chose to play this major character, the leader of the Avengers and all this stuff. And either it was written that badly, or he just sucked that bad.
I think it was a decision that they made. I mean, and a lot of the things you said are true, and they're just inherent flaws to the Captain America origin story, that it is the character that is all good, just the kid that wants to try hard, but was... you know, weak of frame, so strong of will, and all that other stuff, and that's why the serum worked on him. And the big conflict is the war.
The basic idea isn't bad, though, because in the old comics, you know, he was a kid who just wanted to be out there fighting. They wouldn't let him, but he was so passionate about it, and it really came through. And this was a sad.
They were too subtle for
quiet,
you.
Quiet, subtle.
Yeah,
like, that doesn't be good with subtle.
Just dour. He was totally just
I get what you're saying.
Humpty.
I wouldn't say he was quite dour. I would just say that he was a little dour. He was a little more. I mean, you say about arrogance. I think that there was sort of a subtle arrogance to his performance at the beginning,
I didn't get
at least.
A bit of it. I did not.
Because he was like, he was going to keep doing it, and by God, he was going to keep
not arrogance.
Doing it.
Were you
stuff. That is
hungover
arrogance.
When you watched it?
I wish.
You wish you were.
I wish.
So some of that stuff's just inherent to it. Some of it is that they're trying to connect it to the Avengers. Some of it is very cartoony because it's the Nazi bad guys, which are always cartoony. And, you know, the Red Skull is kind of an inherently stupid character. I mean, he can be a really good main villain to create, like, a big story around. But at the end of the day, he is sort of, like, a stupid villain. I don't know. I don't know. Thematically, I didn't have as much of a problem with what they were driving at as you did. And then a little thing surprised me. I think I expected less from it. I'd seen read mixed things. I hadn't read anything actually, but I just sort of seen sort of, you know, AV Club gave it a B, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, and some podcasters were giving it like a 2.5 out of 4, and I'm like, okay, you know, but then saying, you know, I think I'll revisit it on Blu-ray and everything. And I had seen the trailer where he jumps on the grenade and thought, well, that looks pretty stupid, like in ham-fisty. And so a lot of that stuff is there, but I don't know. For me, it was like, I think what a lot of people did with Super 8, I might have done it with this. I read a tweet somebody posted where they said Captain America feels a lot more like a Spielberg, like an 80s Spielberg movie in certain places than like something like Super 8 did, and I think I have to agree. Where a lot of people gave Super 8 a pass for its flaws and its problems, and especially in the second and third act, I didn't because I felt they were so easy to fix. And like you're saying, you're citing some things about the character for Captain America, like in that first act, if he just had a little more actual gumption and things. It would have worked better for you. But I don't know. I mean, a lot of it is dumb. A lot of it is hand-holdy. But I don't know. I was just ready to accept it in this movie.
I think a character should be passionate about something.
Yeah.
And he was not. He absolutely was not passionate. No matter how many times they tried to say, oh, this kid doesn't give up, or he tried to say, I'm not going to give up.
It wasn't in his eyes.
It wasn't in his face. He didn't say anything with any... insistence, or it made me miserable as I was watching it.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think
enjoyed
that was
the hot chick and her enormous rack. I enjoyed Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones was a nice addition.
There were some things I could handle about it, but it was
the cities?
No.
Director's cut.
But you know, you can imagine what they would be like. Maybe.
What was the 40s? So they had her all dolled up in 40s style.
Dolled up. She was in like Wuthering Heights or something. You don't know the work.
A lot of the things you talked about, I agree with, and I think the real.
Do you like the Iron Man character?
I do.
At a certain point, I do. But that stuff to me is just as easy.
Do you like the Thor character?
It's like give him this and then have him do that.
Do you like the Thor character?
Yeah, he was all right. Okay. The Thor character, the reason I like the Thor character is because they gave him a sense of levity from the get-go, rather than having him
absolutely.
If he had just been that harshness all, and then they had him like switch and learn like to pet a kitten or something.
He was having fun. Yeah, he was in the beginning. He was having fun with his,
and he had a sense of humor, and he knew how to treat like regular people with decency too. He wasn't just
kind of. He didn't really treat anyone with decency when he first came to Earth. He
wasn't terrible though. He wasn't like,
he wasn't totally terrible. I mean, it's a Hollywood movie. Right. You can't make him unlikable. He's not unlikable.
No, I guess, yeah.
But the same thing with Iron Man character. I mean, he's not a good person by any stretch of the imagination, but he's likable and he's jokey and he's got jokes to say. And
Captain America is the blanket of that, and you're right. But where he gets interesting,
even in the comics, I mean, like, you know, he does butt heads with people because he has a very sincere, strong ideology, right? You don't get any bit of that in this. Do you know who would have made a better Captain America? Was the dick guy who kicked the barbed wire on him, and who made all the gross passes at the girl and said,
because he wanted things in life.
Because he was a dick, and he approached whatever he was doing with like a sense of like, I'm having fun doing this, and I'm gonna beat all these guys, and like, you know, he had the thing in there that usually a character needs to kind of overcome, kind of to have an arc, and this was like,
right.
I can't just.
He didn't have anything he needed to overcome so much in this. I mean, the conflict was World War II to a degree, so that it kind of wrote itself, and you just inserted him into it, and it was all a lot of setup and origin. I think.
And the bad guys had laser guns.
Right.
This movie was more like G.I. Joe.
It felt like
a
G.I. Joe.
It was like G.I. Joe.
Did you ask for your money back at the theater?
No.
Have you ever done that before?
No.
So, in a weird way, it's going to turn into another sort of. What they do with him in modern day as the Man Out of Time.
Well, I'm interested to see critical. That because that's got to be 1,000 times better just by default, because he's going to be going up against a couple of guys who probably don't like him.
Right. And he's going to be going up against different, these, like you said, the gray area ideologies and things that have kind of taken over in the 21st century.
Gay marriage?
No, Seth, because that doesn't really matter. Right. Yeah. Right.
That was the first thing you brought up.
Right. It's gonna be civil rights and things like that.
There's too many puppies.
And puppies.
The gray area about puppies.
Right. So I don't know.
There's a huge moral gray area in the 21st century you don't know about, kid.
You're trolling your own discussion with that too, right?
Troll.
I only started doing this. You want me to stop?
Well, you want to listen to it?
Fucking bully.
Yeah. Why don't you just stop?
Please?
Please?
Please stop.
Please stop.
No, I don't know. I'll probably like it less the next time I see it. But it had some stupid fun shit that I just like. Like I liked the flying wing stuff at the end. I thought that was kind of cool. And I liked the set piece of the train fight, even though it was really quick.
The rail chaser?
The real tracer. And I don't know. They did little things that I liked. I mean, the Tommy Lee Jones character eating steak was good. And I thought that Stanley Tucci was good as the German guy. And so, I mean, I think for me, I just don't take... I take the Captain America origin story as being what it is, which is, like you say, kind of this... Mm. Like, the guy's just so earnest and so driven, but they didn't really... Play up. They were too cool for school because it's a modern audience thing where they couldn't have him.
It was someone who like
big.
Passionately believed in his country, and he's. I mean, one of his whole things is like. I mean, he breaks off from the other guys in the whole Civil War before the whole Civil War thing because he doesn't like the way the like he's an ideological person who really
believes in freedom
and the
individual
the
liberty
stuff
and all that stuff.
That,
yeah,
that was he was there going on. You know, that was. Strong in the country when he was in his heyday back
right. And that's why the ultimate stuff will be more interesting. Okay, what do you give it, a 2? What do you give it, a 1?
Out of how many?
Out of 5.
I'll give it a 1.
1 out of 5 from him.
I'm gonna give it a 5.
You didn't see it.
I've heard everything I need to hear. I've listened to the arguments of
conspiracy. Yeah, based on Zach's hate for it, you know you'll like it that much?
5.
No, you'd probably give it like a 2.5.
You wouldn't like it.
Are you vetoing my vote?
I'm vetoing your vote for and giving you your vote.
Is this
how, telling you your
is this
vote?
How the podcast
this is how it works
now?
In the new America, Seth.
Okay.
No,
5.
Seth gives it a 5, having not seen it but heard reviews. I don't. I really liked it. I got a kick out of it. I'll give it a 4 because for what it was, I don't need every single story to have that guy needs to defeat his fatal flaw thing. They don't all have to have that in it because sometimes that's just tedious to me watching it.
So
in this
average,
case, they had other stuff that was fun to watch and fun to see.
That's you just said that the thing that has to happen in every movie doesn't have to happen, right? That's what you just said.
Well, I mean, if you define the term based on the term,
we're talking
then yes.
about
he has to defeat something, and he does
Joseph
fight something.
Conrad
yeah,
stuff
I understand
here.
The hero journey stuff, and they do bungle parts of that, but other things they do well, and some of this, and I think a lot of that will probably be in the second one. If it's not, probably like it's like the same thing with Iron Man 2 when we were talking about that, where it's like you look at some of these movies, and when you see the final point that they arrive at. If it all kind of connects,
Iron Man 2's problem wasn't the characters though. Character
it
is such
was,
is such
because
an
it was just more
thing.
Of the same shit from him.
It,
you know?
It was story. What was there for him to fight against?
Right. Yeah.
It was story. It wasn't character. You screw up the character thing and you're dead in the water. You screw up other things and it can survive. Thor was not that great a movie. It really wasn't. The character was so strong in it that you could hang crapper on him and he carried it through. The Natalie Portman stuff was garbage. Most of the stuff that happened on Earth was garbage. The Asgard stuff was interesting in my... I didn't even... Before I saw it, I was like, I don't want to see this stupid neon space stuff.
It's
looked dumb to me.
It, yeah.
That was the best part of that film, was
no,
all
was
the
good.
Stuff that happened up there, and all the gods fighting each other type thing was ended up being awesome. This stuff with all the stuff on Earth just did not work as well. But overall, I mean, I think the movie worked just because... You have a good foundation, and then everything else is trappings, you know.
Right.
But if all you have is trappings and your foundation is bland and weak, then what's the point?
Yeah, if it's a character driven thing or if it's a story driven thing, this is much more story driven, and the character is very much
even things that
the
are
character
story-driven.
The character is more
I mean,
of an archetypical
I,
focus
I
like
heard
thematic.
Your
whole, element.
I haven't heard your old Super 8 thing. I think you didn't like it that much.
I did.
There were major problems with it, but. The major problems with it had to do with the alien. I would watch that movie again just because of all the kid stuff.
Sure, but the kid stuff was great at the beginning, and the kid stuff at the very end was good, but through the middle of the second
was,
from the second act
good.
Through, it wasn't good. It was stupid.
I liked all that stuff.
Did you like the way that they sort of ham-fistedly dealt with the alien stuff and the kid, even though they didn't have to do that? They laid in groundwork.
Well, at the very end, when he talks to it.
They laid in groundwork. For the kid
so
and the
similar.
Alien to have like a connection, and then just didn't do that, so that they could show more explosions.
I didn't
or whatever.
Think that stuff mattered as much, just
because the story
matter. I mean, no, because you build this thing around. I mean,
no,
you risk something with a movie like that, which is you've got these characters and they've got certain particular goals that have nothing to do with this thing that you have floating around the background, which is this alien, right?
Right. But you could connect
the
them.
Alien
you could
almost,
connect
the
them.
Alien almost has nothing to do with this film. That
except that it does.
It was problematic.
Except that it does through the middle of the second act all the way through. Then it's all about the alien, and the kids are very much so put in
they're
the background.
Still, they're still dealing with their stuff.
Not really.
I mean, they're trying to find out what's going on.
They're trying to run away from shit that's exploding.
Their town's getting
stuff.
Torn apart and
right.
stuff. But I mean, they spend time to, you know, him and the fat kid argue about the girl, and
well, like a split second. Really, that's not much.
They're worried about their families. I mean, it could be any sort of like natural disaster.
The kid doesn't have to lie to his dad about not going to baseball camp. That was just a scene that was in there at the beginning to establish a conflict that never happened.
There was a lot of conflict with that. I thought the stuff with him and his father worked pretty well, especially I mean, and then
it was just like Act One set up some stuff that could have been
great. His dad wasn't very. Touchy-feely with him,
right,
and he needed
yeah.
that. And at the end, he gets a little bit.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
He gets a little huggy.
Yeah, yeah.
A little huggy love.
So
did you love
it too on Captain America?
No, he's saying that the part where the kids lock it of his mommy when he gave it up.
Yeah.
And
he was
away.
Willing to let go.
He was willing to let go.
That's a little much.
Yeah, a little much.
I didn't like the ending. I didn't like the ending or most of the alien stuff.
Right, and that became most of the movie.
But overall, I mean, I think the film was not bad, and it was well
directed. You're saying I liked 30% of it, and overall it was good.
I'd say the alien stuff was about 30%.
No, the alien stuff was about almost 70%.
There was little bits of it in the beginning. And then
there was a
decent amount of it in the middle.
Most of
in the
Act
middle.
Two.
It was not most of Act Two. He was.
Well,
it was
okay,
there.
It was about 50%. Then
this was a movie about these kids, and they made the mistake about making about like a major thing happened in these kids' life. There's a lot of movies like that. You know, there's some kids and something happened this summer. But instead of it being about their
Cuban
brothers,
Missile Crisis.
Their other brother's going to Vietnam. It's about the fact that an alien is attacking their town because some mean Americans.
And then instead of making that connect and reemphasize the thing with the kids and stuff, they just kind of abandon that because they didn't have a good story organized. Or they had parts of it and then just didn't want to connect the dots in a way that would have made
how
it
do you want them
story.
To connect the dots?
It basically would have been an E.T. remake. If they had connected the dots, that would have been fine.
Like they were hiding this massive murderous thing.
Not that they were hiding it, but just it would have given a reason for them to connect with it because they were there at the when the train crashed. He picked up one of those orbs. They established that the creature has some kind of psychokinetic whatever. And instead of doing anything with that in the second act or in the, they just throw it in at the end of the third and don't connect it to the orb that the kid gets. The kid gets the orb and then the orb disappears. It flies off and goes to the water tower,
right.
And that does nothing. At all.
Yeah, no, there was a bunch of stuff that didn't go anywhere.
And that was my problem, because it all could have. I mean, it just seemed to me like, I get more enraged.
Even if it had, would it have been that good?
It would have made it better. And yes, then I would have liked it completely. Right. And it would have reemphasized the stuff
for kids.
I'd say it
was about like a 3 out of 5 as it was. I don't know how much better
I don't know what
been.
I gave it. I gave it a 2.5.
So
maybe I gave it a 3.
Drastically
five.
Lower. Ian, nobody cares what you think.
Okay.
Let's keep talking about Infinity Crisis. Crisis on Infinite Earths. Is there another New Coke?
Yeah.
I want to have it. You know what I always liked?
And then dislike and go back to the original.
I liked Crystal Pepsi. You guys remember Crystal Pepsi?
That was clear, right?
I liked Crystal Pepsi.
It reminded me of Nuke from RoboCop 2.
It did remind me of Nuke from RoboCop 2.
It reminded me of, what's the one from Harley Davidson?
Crystal Dream.
Crystal Dream. I imagine I was drinking some nice blue Crystal Dream every time I took a sip of some Crystal Pepsi. I thought that stuff was good. I don't know what they did with it.
Oh, you're being serious.
I liked Crystal Pepsi. I really did.